Welcome back to Head Games Radio, Sirius Satellite, with Jared Bell from USA Today. How are you, Jared?
Pretty good, Nick. How about yourself? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You know, they had an interesting question on ESPN yesterday. Who has more pressure on them, Eli Manning or Peyton Manning?
Oh, I think it's still Peyton, because he's been here before and he hasn't done it, you know.
And the clock is ticking?
Yeah, well, you know, it's still not ticking, winding down that much. I mean, it's, you know, he's going to be playing for a few more years. But just the fact that his team has been in the hunt for much longer than Eli's, and I don't think people see Eli, obviously, as the same type of quarterback that you put your team on your back. Yeah, but there's a lot of pressure for Eli because he plays in New York. So, and he was the guy who said he didn't want to play for the Chargers. I think, let's not forget that part of it, okay?
Well, and it's also taken for granted that Peyton, they expect him. A bad game for him is a B-plus for most other people. With Eli, he's been playing C-ball for quite some time.
Yeah, you know, he really hadn't had a lot of interceptions this season, and even in the past few weeks. I went back last night, and I was just looking at, you know, his stats game by game and stuff like that, and I think he's had only, like, one or two picks in, like, the last month or so, but he hasn't been dominant, and he hasn't even completed half his passes in the past couple of games. But, you know, I think the thing with the Giants is that there are just so many problems around him as well, but he's one of them because he's been pretty inconsistent.
Well, let's move on to what you're covering this week. You're going to Indianapolis with the Chiefs game, and, you know, it's been something that has been a shootout in the past. I think the Chiefs may have had 500 yards themselves. Nobody punted in that last playoff game as well. How do you see this game?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that type of game at all. And I think if it is, Indianapolis would love it because that means that they're getting their hands on the football. I think this game is all about Larry Johnson and whether or not the Chiefs can keep the ball out of Peyton's hands, score points with Larry Johnson, just pounding away at that NFL-worst rushing defense.
What about Ty Law? He's had a pretty interesting history against Peyton.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a thing that's probably overshadowed when you look at this matchup. You know, Ty Law followed Herm Edwards and wound up in Kansas City this year. And, you know, Ty Law's getting long in the tooth, you know, but he's still a really good cornerback, a wily veteran, and you know, he's going to try to lock down on Marvin Harrison again. And this is just a repeat of what happened when Ty Law was with the Patriots. You know how many times they had to play the Indianapolis Colts when Law was with the Patriots, and, you know, that one AFC championship game really comes to mind when he got three interceptions against Peyton Manning. So if there's anybody who can play Peyton Manning and kind of knows the nuances that go into trying to defend him and Marvin Harrison and that passing game, it's Ty Law. So I fully expect the Chiefs will put Ty Law on Marvin Harrison and then try to cover Reggie Wayne with the rest of the secondary.
What about, as Len Dawson said on Tuesday's show with Ron Jaworski, that they're really, in their opinion, there's no chance that the Chiefs can make the kind of pressure, can create that pressure in the middle that makes it difficult for Peyton to stay up, because the Chiefs certainly have the pressure from the outside with Tamba Ali and with Jared Allen.
Yeah, I think those guys on the outside, especially Jared Allen, I mean, he's one of my favorite players, and a lot of people don't know him. He's kind of a, you know, a lunch bell, blue-collar type of guy, but he's pretty relentless. I like his game. And, yeah, they may not get the pressure up the middle. I remember Steve Young told me one time, that's the worst pressure a quarterback can get because it's in their face, and you can't see half the time and so on and so forth. But, you know, Indianapolis has been hurt a lot by pressure from the outside. If I remember that game last year when Pittsburgh went in and won that playoff game, I saw a lot of Joey Porter coming from the outside. When San Diego beat Indianapolis last year, it was Sean Merriman coming from the outside. So the outside pressure can get to Peyton just as bad as inside pressure, because, you know, Peyton is not the most mobile guy. Now, he is more mobile than you think. You know, he can move and get out of the pocket and roll out, and he's done a much better job this year. Nick, when you talk about, look at Peyton Manning, you say, what's different about him? How has he grown? He has thrown so much better on the run this year than he ever has.
Exactly. His movement, leaving the pocket, he's throwing better, isn't he?
Yeah,
no question.
And I haven't talked to him about it. The next time I get a chance to, I'm going to ask him, because I'm sure he, you know, spent time in the offseason, because that was always the thing with Peyton. You know, you get him out of his comfort zone, and, you know, he'd go to pieces. Well, he's done a much better job this year throwing on the run. But, hey, one more thing to mention about this. Indianapolis has allowed the fewest sacks in the league, just 15.
Well, what my concern would be with Indianapolis is the when you have an Achilles heel as big as they do against the run, mm-hmm. what are you going to do knowing that the Chiefs are going to pound Larry Johnson 40 to 45 times?
Yeah, what are you going to do? A big key is going to be Bob Sanders. He's coming back. Monte Rager's been out most of the season. He's trying to get back. And then Bob Sanders, the safety, who was in the Pro Bowl last year. Let's not forget that. I mean, this is a great safety in the making. He's young. He's only been in the league for 2-3 years, but he is a really, really good safety. And he's the guy. It's kind of like if you remember Blaine Bishop with the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Oilers, kind of that pit bull safety. And Bob Sanders gives Indianapolis' defense this. I mean, and I don't think a lot of people really recognize that, but this guy flies all over the place. He cleans up a lot of stuff. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles, and he can hit. I think Bob Sanders, and he practiced yesterday. They hope he's going to be there. He hadn't played in almost a couple months. He played in that Indianapolis game. I think he can make a tremendous difference. And, you know, I talked to Tony Dungy about this not too long ago, about how you fix the run defense. And the thing that he said that kind of stuck with me, he said, you know, yeah, we haven't been very good on run defense, but we've had our moments. We've had stretches, a quarter here, a quarter there, a half here, where we've played pretty good run defense. I went back and checked the effectiveness when Bob Sanders is in the lineup, and in his last three games, he's only played four this year, but in his last three games, the Colts did not give up a 100-yard rusher. That tells me something that, you know, kind of adds to the value that Bob Sanders can bring. So you talk about what can happen this weekend. Hey, maybe you add this one guy and he can help, and then some of the other guys show up some things too.
If Indianapolis gets ahead, I think...
Hey, they need it bad. You know it.
They need it. You know, one last thing I'll ask you before we let you go, Jared Bell, is nobody's brought it up that I know of, but it's about a year since Tony's son committed suicide, and that was the most egregious, powerful distraction imaginable for an individual, for a coach, and for a team. That's not an issue this year, is it?
No, I don't think so. And, you know, the Colts have really done a good job of supporting Tony through all of this, as they did last year when it happened. And, I think when you talk about something like that happening, you know, that close to, you know, right in the middle of the football season and into the whole thing, I don't think there's any doubt that it affected the team. I mean, you know, Tony Dungy wasn't there for practices. The players were flying, you know, flew off one day for a funeral, and I just think it just kind of threw their whole rhythm off. Now, nobody admitted that. Nobody would dare say anything like that, but you just have to know something like that. But now, yeah, you've gone several months since that, over, like you said, a year since that happened, and I don't think that's going to be the factor. I think the factor for them, obviously, is can they get their hands on the ball? Because one thing that has happened with their bad run defense is that Peyton and the offense really haven't had the opportunities to run their offense. This year, the Colts had the fewest amount of offensive snaps as they've had in any year since Peyton Manning's been there. And you know how it goes, Nick. When you get the ball, you get the clock, you control the game, you keep that offense off the field. On the flip side, the Colts have the highest percentage of touchdowns per drive in the league, so they're just as efficient, but they've got to get more opportunities to have you know, their hands on the ball.
Well, Jared, thanks for giving us the opportunity to listen to your wisdom, and you can look for Jared's writing in USA Today. Is it coming out tomorrow?
What? Well, we got all kind of stuff coming out for the next forever.
What's your next piece coming out on Indy and the Chiefs?
Oh, we'll have something on the gang. Yeah, just a preview. Nothing big, man. Just a little preview.
Well, thanks, my friend.
Okay,
you're the best.
We'll talk to you. Okay.
We'll see you next week.
Yep,
thanks,
bye,
brother.
Bye.
J.C. Pearson, how are you, buddy?
Doing good, man. How about yourself, Nick?
J.C. Pearson, you know what? People are going to say, oh, all we're going to do is talk about Indianapolis and the Chiefs. But you know what? We've got to do it some justice here. We had Solomon Wilcott's J.C. on the show yesterday talking about Larry Johnson. One more comment from you just because of your past history with the Chiefs. And then let's move on to the one game we haven't talked much about, which is the Dallas and Seattle game. Here's Solomon Wilcott's.
I have to start with him, but I think if you move to the second layer of what they're going to have to be able to do well in order to go in there and play well and win, Trent Green has to really play well. He's got to step up and be more consistent factor in ball games. Let's face it, they'll run it 30, 40 times, but sooner or later, you can't match field goals for touchdowns, something Herman Edwards just talked about. In order to puncture it into the end zone, they're going to have to be able to throw the ball some, and Trent Green's got to be able to make plays. His receivers are going to have to make plays. I think we already know Tony Gonzalez is going to get his. I believe Larry Johnson will get his as well. Quarterback has to make plays under extreme pressure from Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. They play very fast on turf when you drop back to throw the football. So he's going to have to get it done under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, Trent Green has shown a lot of inconsistency. Certainly you can blame it on the fact that he missed all those games, the concussions, and you can say he's trying to do too much. But do you think Trent is up for this game? What are the chances the Chiefs have to stay in this game?
Are you talking to me, Nick, or is that some?
Yeah, No, Solomon, that was just a quote from him, brother.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought that may have been a question.
It sounded so
area,
real.
But no. Yeah, it did. You came in right on time. But, you know, I think the Chiefs have a good shot. You know, obviously, if you can carry going in the running game, you know, and I don't think, you know, I kind of disagree with Solomon. I don't think Trent has to play well. I think he just has to manage the game. You know, they're not going to
lose. He just can't give the game away.
Yeah, just don't lose the game. And, you know, obviously there's talk here in Kansas City that, you know, they may make the switch to Damon Heward if he struggles and things like that. But this is not a game where it's going to be won or lost on Trent Green's arm. The running game is going to be the main factor for him, and Trent's got to just make the plays that are there. Play action passes, that kind of stuff. Just make the throws that are available. And you're not going to, the Chiefs don't live and die by his arm anyway. So, you know, there's still going to be a running game, and if he just doesn't lose the game for them by throwing interceptions, they should be pretty close.
If they stay close at halftime, I think they have a real shot. When we come back, we're going to talk with J.C. Pearson from Fox Television. We'll be joined by Luke Jensen as well to talk about Giants, Philadelphia, Dallas, Seattle. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and SiriusXM.